This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Lulu and Michael podcast for all the bits you missed
from Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy with Lulu and Michael. Lulu, are you in a good mood?
I am, but I nearly had a little nap with that song. It was so relaxing.
Hypnotic, isn't it?
Is that the word? That is the word.
I think it is. Hypnotic.
It's one of those ones.
Not like napping. Not the napping number.
Napotic.
I'm in a good mood. You've just gone through one. It's on a list, isn't it, of ordeals, I reckon. What have you been doing?
Moving. Oh.
Now, were you in the old house for how long?
30 years.
Wow.
Well, I wasn't there for 30 years. My parents were. Oh, my God. And my dad is the biggest hoarder. I didn't realise how big a hoarder he was because he had a shed downstairs underneath the house that I didn't know was really there.
Did your mum ever go in there?
No. None of us did.
Was it like a man shed?
Man cave. We had other stuff from high school and things were still in there, which is our own fault because obviously you just put stuff in there.
Mm.
But we had a skip that we had there weeks ago that we put, 6-ton skip that we filled with junk.
That's a lot.
But we would put stuff in the skip and then in the morning it would miraculously be back in the house because the cuckoo, which we ended up calling him, would go out there and get it out of the skip and bring it back in.
That is hoarding. That is exactly what they do.
He is a hoarder.
Have you ever watched the program Hoarders?
Well, yes, but I just didn't realise I was living with one.
Oh, yeah.
And I would put out like a couple of pairs of shoes that I would think, I don't need those anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they're all right. I'm not going to wear them, Dad. They don't fit.
No.
They've got holes in them.
It's odd, isn't it?
Why do you need to keep them?
Yeah.
Well, they're all right. No, they're not. Then you're not going to wear them either, so why do we need to keep them?
I mean, it's a real issue, isn't
it? It's weird.
You know, was there old, like, stacks of newspapers soaked in urine?
Well, things like, because he's from New Zealand, he had books and magazines from his school.
No.
Yes.
And it's odd. Why would you want, I mean, if you want them because you think, oh, I'm not getting rid of that, but that means you've got to keep it out or frame it.
But that's the thing. He doesn't. He keeps them in a box. They've been in a cupboard for 30 years. And I said, if you haven't been in this cupboard and read them in the last year, they can go in the bin. We did a bit of a clean one day because he wasn't there. And then he came over and there was
they don't like that.
No, there was a rugby ball in the car and it was deflated. Why are you throwing out my rugby ball? Well, one, you're 70, you don't play rugby anymore.
No.
And it doesn't even blow up. I'm going to give that to the Rugby Hall of Fame, wherever that is. Where is that?
Yeah. And if you haven't given it already, why, when are we giving it?
When are we giving it? Because we've had it in the cupboard. Go and give it now.
And when you move is the ideal time to say, there you go, you can have it.
Yes. So he's put it back in the shed in the new house.
Wow, my Lord.
But there's stuff that people need. Can't we give it to them?
Yeah.
Not that they like need a deflated rugby ball.
We've got a guest on the line now. We wanted them desperately to be live in the studio, but they are way too busy for that. Ladies and gentlemen, Ash Flanders.
Hello, Melbourne.
How are you, my love?
I'm great. You're catching me in between shows today.
I knew. We obviously know how busy you are. We wanted to have a little word to you about Lilith, the jungle girl.
Well, great. That's exactly what I want to talk about.
Damn right. That's what you're in the
how
break of.
How lucky is that?
What a coincidence.
Now, I was there the other night and I loved it. It is another work by Sisters Grimm. I've got to be honest, though, it's really out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for us, the out there is sort of where you'll find us. So it's another work by Sisters Grimm, which is me and Declan Green, two Melbourne-based queer artists that make work that's kind of funny, and we try to say something smart but in the stupidest way possible.
Yeah, and I think you've got it with this one. Give us a little bit about it so that people know exactly what Lilith the Jungle Girl is all about.
Sure. Well, it's a classic story like The Elephant Man or Pygmalion or She's All That for a more modern reference. But it's basically about a girl that's found in the wilds of Borneo living amongst the lions who's brought back to 19th century Holland to be to be sedated or given some sort of a lobotomy so they can test her. But then they discover that she might in fact be human. So It's, yes, Gar. And it's all about what makes a human versus what makes an animal. And it's kind of one of those classic allegorical tales, except, of course, in our version, the villains and the queers win.
It sounds exactly like Nell.
It's very Nell. There's a scene that I do in silhouette, thankfully, because I'm naked for a lot of the show, but this happens in silhouette, where I dance magically a la Jodie Foster in Nell.
Oh, it's heaven.
Yes, it really is. And actually, you are naked, I know, because I was there, but there is you are covered in something. What is that?
Yes, I'm covered in a pink clay, which is sort of just our way of showing that Lilith will never really be out. You cannot ignore her difference, because I think these sort of stories are about kind of assimilation narratives or people being kind of finding their own space in a larger structure. But what do you do when someone just is never going to fit in? And I think there's a relevance with, like, the modern-day sort of LGBTIQ struggle of, like, do we want to be seen as just as dull as everyone else, or do we want to still be a bit punk and keep our edge to us?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and I think there's nothing punker than someone covered in mud at the MTC smearing themselves all over the place.
Your skin must be amazing at the moment. Is it a good clay?
Do you know what, Lulu? I am fresh in places I didn't know needed freshening up.
That can only be good, doing good things.
Well, yeah. I wish I was single. I'd be very ready to mingle right now.
What I like is there you are in a crate as if you have been shipped over from Borneo. And obviously the crate opens and there's not a lot of, you don't speak anything. Well, there's grunting and groaning. Very Nell. And then there's a lot of, I don't know, lollygagging around in this pink clay. It is just mesmerizing in the beginning. I think there's a little bit in the audience if they don't know whether to laugh or not, you know. And obviously, you know, you're meant to laugh. Well, you can laugh if you want. Yeah, if you don't, you know.
Yeah, we really enjoy treading that line of, like, the performances you're seeing are very committed. It's like we're all shooting for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Because it's very, like, yes, kind of filmic reference. But the writing itself is so cliched deliberately and so full of references and, like, ways to keep you at, like, from ever taking the story that seriously, that you don't know whether is this meant to be funny or is this meant to be sad. And it's like life. It's both.
Did you just write
funny and it's very sad.
Did you just write she grunts or did you write actual ugs and uhs?
No, I think with Lilith, as one of the writers, I just said, you know, Lilith smears mud everywhere. And then I just found the grunts on the floor.
Right,
that's
yeah.
That's the kind of artist I am.
They've got to come naturally.
They do. Yeah, I'm a grunter. I think I can give Joy that exclusive.
You're not alone in this. You've got a great supporting cast. Who's in there with you?
Yeah, I've got Miss Candy Bowers, who's a very fantastic actor here in Melbourne, actor and activist and hip-hop artist. And I've got Genevieve Jaffray, who Sisters Grimm have worked with a lot before. These two great character actor hams. And I can't stress enough, like, if you aren't going to make it to see My Fair Lady up in Sydney or when it does come down here, see our version. It's just as great.
I agree.
It's just as restrained, I think, as well.
I definitely agree. Now, Lulu, when is this on?
It's on at the South Bank Theatre, The Lawler, and it's on the 1st of September to the 1st of October. It's the 3rd of September. It opened on the 3rd of September. Yep. And you can get tickets.
Mid-season.
Yeah, you can get tickets at the MTC box office or at mtc.com.au.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I've already been and it's great. It's on till the 1st of October, so get along there.
It's the cheapest show you'll see at MTC this year, and I don't mean that because I'm covered in mud.
No.
But it is a fantastic show, and it's Melbourne-based. It was all made here in Melbourne, so support your local drag performance art.
Damn right. And did you, a little while ago, I think I was, doing what you have to do every now and again, relieving myself, and I noticed that Petty's name was mentioned as a volunteer. Well, we love Petty, don't we? Because she knows, as the Joy photographer, that she's got to stand on a chair to take our picture.
She must have learnt that from Tyra Banks.
Well, I've been yelling it at her in the early days, you know, because it's just very, very important that you get an above the angle rather than below.
Always from above and then always do the turtle, which is sticking your neck out and down. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've had one chin, I've had eight, and it doesn't matter, you know.
What sort of does?
The rule is the rule. You do it from above.
always from above, looks always much better. But Betty has this good thing, as if there's no chair, she still holds the camera above her head.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's onto it.
So
plus
really,
it's her birthday. Happy birthday.
Always been a winner in our eyes. I just thought I'd echo those comments of earlier. Every time that we get a dog in the studio, Lulu, you do go a little bit crazy, don't you?
I know, I'm a bit dog mad.
You are dog mad, and that, you know, you've got your own, you've had your own dogs for years.
Yay.
I was recently in London and my mates have got a little dog as well. And I've got to be honest, it does get to you, and it's dogs involved. This next guest, his name is Andrew Follows, and he has an exhibition called Soulmates. And this is incredibly intriguing. I'm dying to know a lot more about this, but I welcome him now. Andrew, welcome to the show.
G'day, Michael. Thank you, and Lulu.
Yes. Now, give us a little bit of information about you, because you have taken lots and lots of photographs with various celebrities, but let us know why that might be sort of unique and, in fact, incredibly unique.
I'm actually legally blind, and I've got a guide dog, and his name's Eamon,
mm-hmm.
and I've been with him since 2006. So I've been with him for 10 years now, which is pretty awesome.
When did you get into photography?
Probably most of my life I've been in photography, but when digital came out, it opened a whole new world for me, as far as like the digital camera became my eyes.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I could put the photos through the computer or through the TV, and I can see all the shapes, sizes and colours and what people look like, or you know, how good looking they are or not good looking.
Right.
You know, it just became a whole new world for me.
And does that mean, obviously, for most people, you know, I would describe myself as a very average to not very good photographer anyway.
I'm going to say looking.
No.
No?
Definitely below average. And but I guess it's, you know, it's one of those, you know, mediums that you would imagine probably would be out of bounds if you're born, you know, legally blind, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you just thought, no, that is something I want to do and nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah, well, it just started off as a tool to see. And then just over time I did a series of workshops and study groups and stuff like that. And people started to take notice on the works and thought, wow, you actually are creating something that nobody else can create.
Mm.
You know, I take images that sometimes can be just on a day-to-day basis, but people miss seeing it. You know, just walking down the street and you know, something might pop out and take a photo. And
yeah.
So I suppose it's like when they say when you're blind or deaf, you do take notice of things that we don't see or hear because you have limited vision. You're seeing things that we might miss.
That's right.
So you're capturing it with the camera.
Absolutely.
With this exhibition, though, you're actually going and taking pictures of people with your dog.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. The idea came up in 2012 when I was in Edinburgh, and I caught up with Adam Hills.
Yeah.
And I took a snapshot of Adam and Eamon together after the show.
Yeah.
And that's where the idea came up. I thought, oh, how can I develop this?
Mm.
So I sat on it for about a year, and then 2014 I started it and started, you know, making phone calls, and I wanted to get photos of famous people and to create a special connection between dog and human.
Yeah.
And Eamon being such a lovely, lovable, adorable, awesome
beautiful
dog. Yeah. How could you say no to him?
Yeah.
And the connection that I've created with some of the people I've photographed have been, you know, really fantastic.
And there's some amazing names in there as well, isn't there? You know, rattle off some names.
Oh, who have we got? We've got Jamie Gardner, who's here by
me. Yes, he's joining us. He'll be on in a minute.
Michael Kirby.
Yep.
Ron Barassi.
Ron Barassi.
Marcus
Graham. I mean, it's, you know.
Denise Scott.
Yeah.
Sammy J and Randy.
Now, I guess I'm, you know, I can't help myself. Was there anyone Eamon said no to? Was there anyone Eamon thought, no, I'm sorry, I'm just not posing? Go on, reveal it. No, there probably wasn't then, was there?
There were times where he was just wanting to be a dog and didn't want to.
Well, he's like us all. Yeah. He's a temperamental artist.
He's a diva.
He's a diva, exactly.
He's a diva.
Now, you mentioned Jamie before. He's joining us now. Jamie Gardner is the Vice President of Liberty Victoria. What was your sitting with Eamon like? Was Eamon temperamental with you? Or beg your pardon, were you temperamental with Eamon?
I don't think either of us were very temperamental.
Oh, good.
We were at Hares and Hyenas, the gay bookshop.
Yes.
And we were contemplating what book he would like to read, or what book I should read to him.
Yes.
And we experimented with what books should be visible on the bookshelf behind us. And he was very tolerant of all the scene setting and moving things around.
Well, I guess also when we are made to believe, or led to believe, or we're told, I guess, that when we're out and about and somebody has a guide dog, that you're not to approach them because they're working. So I guess Eamon must be very well trained if he knows that he's going to be meeting all these various people and he's having his picture taken, you know?
Yes, well, when he is in the studio now, he's got his working gear off, so he's allowed to be patted.
Right. I'm like that when I've got mine off.
Yeah. The thing is too that it's the breed too, isn't it? I mean, Labradors are so, they're placid dogs and they do like being around people, so that's a plus when you're doing photo shoots anyway. So you've picked the right dog for that.
Labradors love the attention.
They sure do.
Yeah. Now, the exhibition itself begins on the 20th. And what are you hoping that everybody obviously coming along? You obviously, you want people to come and look at your work, obviously, yeah, don't you?
Absolutely. Primarily, the exhibition's a fundraiser for Guide Dogs Victoria.
Which is amazing, obviously. Yeah. You know, I mean, and, you know, the work that they do, the money then that would be raised trains dogs from when they're very young,
yes,
up until when they're given to, you know, to the various owners then, isn't it?
Yeah. So, like with Eamon, I've had him since he was 18 months old.
Right.
After he was trained up, and the puppy raising, then the training to be a guide dog.
So, and did you know immediately Eamon was right for you?
No. It took about a year to feel comfortable with him and to learn, because I was still learning. And now we're a team. He knows where I'm going before I know where I'm
right.
going. You know, it's a lot of stuff we do is routine.
But they do amazing work then, don't they?
He's awesome.
So, you know,
he's brilliant.
I mean, the beauty of it is that you can go along to an exhibition like this and know that the money that is being raised is going to them, which, you know, incredible work.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Lulu, where can we? Where is it all on at and all the details?
It's at the No Vacancy Art Gallery, which is at QV Melbourne, and it's opening, as you said, 20th of September till the 25th. It's at 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. So you can get along there. You have to go to the gallery. I think you can just email Andrew, is that right?
Yep, email me at andrew@blinkyphotography.com.au.
We'll probably put all those details up on our Facebook page as well. Now, believe, and we're gonna let you go, but I do believe that once this is done, you're moving on to an international version. Is that right?
Yes.
God, you don't stop.
No, I keep going.
Yeah, well, good.
Life's too short.
Absolutely.
I'm off to New Zealand next year to photograph the glaciers for our new set of works for
their basketball team.
So
does that mean Eamon gets to go on the plane?
He won't be coming because Eamon's 12, so he's actually going to be retiring.
Oh.
So hopefully next year I'll have a new dog to take.
Which
is sad because, yeah, it's going to be a whole new chapter with me.
You'll have to learn a new puppy.
Oh, yes.
But, I mean, what a legacy Eamon's leaving behind. I mean, I know he's not, you know, passing on, but you know what I mean.
He's opened so many doors for me.
Yeah.
Does he still stay with you, though, or does he?
The option's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The option's there.
Keep him and have him at home by the fire.
So next year I'm doing the glaciers in New Zealand for another fundraising exhibition.
Yep.
And in 2020, Japan for the Paralympics.
Wow.
Well, good on you. Jamie, thank you very much for joining us. And Andrew, thank you to you as well.
Good luck for the exhibition.
You're on Joy. Joining us now, though, Mr. Anthony Crowley.
I love the way you introduced me.
Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Thank
you,
Lulu.
I know you well, and I know what a creative man you are. And you have written a musical called Motormouth Love Suck Face.
Do you like the title?
I love the title.
It's going down well, the title.
I mean,
it's short, isn't it?
It is short, straight to the point.
Now, I mean, obviously, what we always want to know from our guests, because nobody does it better than them, what is it about?
It's about a group of teenagers who are at this party and then find out that it's the very last night of the planet, that the planet's going to implode and that they have to escape from the planet before the end of the world.
No, you go on.
No, I was going to say, but unfortunately, before they get a chance to do that, a zombie apocalypse kind of breaks out and they have to deal with that first.
Now, what was going on in your mind when you were sitting around going, I know, I'm going to write something about, well, exactly this. What was going on?
I really wish I had an answer to that question, but I don't. I think...
We are in love with zombies, though, aren't we? There's been a big resurgence of zombies.
There is a movie that's the same storyline with that, with Seth Rogen and...
Oh, what's that? He says having...
Well, I think they're all this, isn't it? When you involve zombies, it has to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
It is. And zombies have got that thing that they can be so much fun in so many ways.
They don't sing, though, in that movie, I must add.
No, but they sing.
It's not musical. That's right. Yours is slightly different because yours has got singing.
We have a special singing zombie, actually, dedicated to singing. But they're also a great way to talk about the horror of the world that we all deal with. So they get that serious side that we play musical comedy the whole time. But it can be about those two things at the one time. So we get to laugh at things that we recognise are actually quite horrible and kind of work through them in a funny way.
Well, is there an element of if you don't do this, this is likely to happen? Is this, you know, are we able to avoid this Armageddon or is it going to happen anyway?
It's going to happen anyway, but there's opportunity for a second chance.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no hope, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we have hope.
So there are lessons.
That's a change for me. I never have hope in my show. I tend to, in my plays,
doom and gloom.
Kill everybody and everybody dies. But in this, I won't give away the ending, but hope is part of it. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Got to be. Now, it's all very well writing, and you've done everything on this, haven't you? Literally everything. You've written it. Yeah. You've, all the music, all the dark, everything.
Yeah, been a complete control freak.
Do you enjoy that, taking over your life completely?
Obviously.
No, I don't. I'm looking...
Does your wife enjoy this?
Yeah.
We make a pretty good team on this. We've got pretty good, we're doing all right at the moment.
Well, isn't it all the family get involved? There's no other way, is
it? Oh, my God, absolutely. My 14-year-old daughter is my chief dramaturg.
Yeah. That's
she says,
great.
Dad, you don't have to explain everything.
Well, that's really good, isn't
she's
it?
She's an actor as well.
And she's the right age group to go, nah, you don't need that with this sort of style,
totally.
Especially.
She knows the difference between a Doctor Whovian who's going to want all that detail and someone who just wants a little tiny bit.
Right.
And she's also really good at going, nah, I wouldn't say that.
Great. Say that. For the kids.
Yeah. Now, you're not alone, are you? You are obviously in the studio, and they're not alone in it, of course, because you're not in this one. You are an actor as well, but you're not in this one.
No, I'm only on that. Yeah, no.
Who have you brought with us? Are we all right? Are they zombies?
They start off all right, but both wind up as zombies, and they don't quite make it through the show. This is Nicole. Nicole plays Tank in the show.
All right, let us know a little bit about your... Hello.
She doesn't look like a tank.
Little do you know.
What is your role all about in this?
My character's name is Tank Ramone, so she's one of the teenagers who attend this end of the world party and eventually does turn into a zombie, unfortunately, but she gets to sing some lovely songs first and have a bit of a dance, so it's not all doom and gloom. It's
right. Good. And I'd love to know, what do you do when you audition for something like this?
Yes.
What do you do?
I played the ukulele, actually.
You did. You played it very well.
I played the ukulele and sang a song. We read a few lines. We had a bit of a zombie improvisation.
Did you watch The Walking Dead before you came in?
I didn't. I watched a bit of iZombie.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A bit of Skins.
There you go. To get you in the mood.
In the teenage vibe.
Behaving very badly.
Now, would you introduce us to the other cast member you brought along?
This is the handsome Elias, who plays Hugh... Who do you play?
I play the character of Hugo Dude, who is a bit of a typical teenage boy, cool guy, in love with Tank Ramone, who we just spoke to earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Lovers.
Yes.
He just got embarrassed. That's so funny.
He's fascinated with the fact that poor old Tank is actually secretly dying of cancer, and he finds it a bit of a turn on.
Yeah, amusing. Cool. Bit of a turn on there.
And this is what you wrote, Anthony.
Well, it's an uplifting story.
it is in a funny, really funny way. I mean, don't you find that those bizarre, twisted things are actually the things that are actually most absurd and funny? And that
well,
we
when
laugh
you go
at?
To watch something like this, you mean? Yeah, you mean? Yeah,
absolutely.
not in real
not
life.
In the real life. No, no.
Well, often in the real life, all right. Maybe. I
well,
don't know.
Now we know why you wrote it.
Yes, thank you.
You
yes.
know, I mean, but that is when you go to something like this. I think this is a unique production, isn't it? In that way, you know. I mean, I think your style is something out there and something different. Musically, though, having heard a little bit of it, you know how to write great songs.
Yeah, I've learned that. And Mark's really great. And we're
Mark
sort of,
Jones.
Yeah, Mark yep. Jones, our musical director. So we're kind of like, you know, tweaking everything. And you know how musicals get, you know, they don't get written, they get rewritten. So we're just sort of going through that. But no, I've learned how to write a song.
Yep. Yeah. Is that a nightmare for you guys, though? I can imagine. I mean, you could, I know he's sitting next to you, but you can be honest. Working with both of them, you know.
Like, it's amazing to have him in the room. It's just such a pleasure.
Yeah.
No,
and now, but, and then?
No, then, no, to be completely, his work is so meticulous and beautiful that you need someone over your shoulder being like, no, this is this, so that you can, you know, put what he wants into it to make it perfect.
Yeah. And then on opening night, just do whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Well, he's going to be... They won't
right,
be
don't
there.
Know not to work with you, Lulu.
That's what genius is.
Yeah. Improvise.
So, yeah, that's right. So now I have to ask you, with the makeup for the zombies, because I'm into makeup.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? Get them transformed on stage.
Well, we have one zombie boy who we're going to spend a bit of time on, so we have time to transform him.
Yeah.
With the others, it's actually you can actually get a zombie look happening pretty fast. We've done a lot of experimenting with just a few dark gestures of makeup in the right place and a little bit of white. So we've got enough time, we think, to do a little off stage, on stage, and physically, like they're doing course. A lot of physical work to get that zombie.
It's
thing
all
happening.
About the gormless, isn't it? You know, gormless is very.
Well, ours are happy zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
Happy zombies.
There's a fine line.
Well, method acting for zombies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we won't get you to do that now because you're probably not ready. But, you know, we've given you a little bit of help there, haven't we?
If thank you need you. A workshop, we're happy to come and help.
Exactly. Now, an original musical, where is it all going on at, Lulu? What are the dates?
It's at our favourite place, Chapel Off Chapel, The Loft. It's on Thursday, the 6th of October is when it all kicks off, till the 23rd. And you can get your tickets at chapeloffchapel.com.au.
And we have 5 previews, and we really want people to come to these previews because we want to make sure that we use those previews to make it even better. Right. So it's a bit of a new idea we're trying, Michael, to do more previews, get an audience
more
in.
More previews
to,
is a great
it's
idea.
It's a great idea, yeah.
Yeah,
so
hell yeah.
Come to our preview. It's only $28.
Well, there
really
you go.
Cheap.
You get a little bit of a cheaper deal, and you can go to the preview. It's going to be probably exactly the same as later on. It's not as if you're getting a different, you know.
No, that's when it's
I'm trying
like
to build
getting
in the party.
Ground floor
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Door prizes, come as a zombie
well,
and get
go.
Something.
Oh,
that kind
that's
of
a good
thing.
Idea.
Yeah. You can go as you are, Lulu. And,
it's a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
I wasn't going to dress up. I was going to come in my pajamas, hair all over the place. That's zombie, isn't
it's
it?
It's much easier for me as well. I only live down the road. My pajamas are the only thing that fits me these days. All right. It is Motormouth Love Suck Face, and you got to get along. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Thank you, Lulu.
Melbourne Fringe is just the about fringe. To begin. It's a big one as well. It gets bigger and
I'm
bigger every year.
Already.
Oh, come on. That's not the spirit.
Okay. I say so. Yay. Melbourne Fringe.
Now, a well-known friend to this program. He's joining us now with a great big round of applause on his entrance. Please welcome Lyle Brooks.
Thanks. Now I will do the talking.
Yes. Well, now,
joy.
Welcome,
joy.
Young man. You have got a play in this called A Prudent Man.
It is. It's a one-man play, so I'm not pooing myself at all, not
is
in
it,
the slightest.
Is it?
Prudent
do you,
man.
You'd rather work with somebody else? It's always a little easier, isn't it?
Well,
know?
No. I mean, it's a good challenge. I said, yeah, of course I'll do a one-man show, thinking I must have done that before. I haven't, and it's quite something else, as you would know.
I did it once, and I regretted every moment. of the beginning of it, you know, at the beginning, once you're on and you're doing it and it goes well, that's when you can love it. But the lead up is, it's terrifying, isn't it? You know, it's only you to be relied upon, only you can...
Michael, you're making it worse.
No, he knows all this.
I know all this. You know? I can't look at the other actor.
Now, other thing, obviously, we always ask, I guess, what is it about?
What is it about? Okay, so I'll try and say it without turning anyone off when I say right-wing politician, okay?
I already don't know what that means.
Yes, you do, right-wing.
I don't know what right-wing means.
Okay, so conservative politician. So this character...
I think the government at the moment is right-wing.
Okay.
Hideously. I beg your pardon. Sorry, you carry on.
I was trying to use judgmental language, but sure, I'll let you do it. I'll look at you and I'll give you this look. You give a judgmental word.
Cool.
Right. Okay, so the character is sort of this amalgamation of all our favourite right-wingers.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not an awful disparaging stand-up routine of how about this guy when he said this. It's more just Katie Warner, who wrote the piece, she is kind of exploring what makes this person human and trying to understand what makes them tick by using a lot of the same words that we're kind of used to them saying. So using a lot of the slogans, a lot of the stories.
When often we just want them to speak our language, don't we?
Exactly,
yeah. It's really, in a way, Lulu, why a lot of us don't want to have any interest in politics, because you think they do not speak my language and they do not represent me.
That's exactly right. So we've sort of used, and even I didn't know the extent to which Katie had mined the interviews and the slogans a lot of politicians, right or left, I guess.
Yes.
Until I'd say, oh, God, I can't believe I have to say this line. And she said, oh, yeah, that's from an interview that Abbott gave. These are real words that came out of a real person's face.
Yes.
And a lot of them are. So, yeah, it's that. It's exploring what makes this sort of person think the way they do. And I guess the premise is, even though it's a bit ambiguous, they're being interviewed or they might be on trial because something has happened to this person that's sort of challenged their fundamental policies in their way of thinking.
Are we meant to laugh, cry, all of the above?
Let's say dark humour.
Sure.
Okay, it depends. I mean, once the audience starts laughing, you know what I'm like. I'm just all jazz hands and waka waka. Yeah. So there could be, that. But no, hopefully not, if I've been directed properly. And
so it's not actually meant to be billed as a comedy?
No, it is not.
Okay.
No. And it's not even billed as here's a bunch of quotes or speeches from politicians. It's sort of a character exploration.
Well, I guess in that way then when we're watching somebody like this, we want to empathize with them as well as, you know, not like them.
Yes,
you know?
I mean, that's
you've got to be balanced.
Yeah. I was chatting with Katie before. She said, I don't know whether, you know, I didn't care about making this person human necessarily, did I? And I'm like, well, that's my job as the actor.
Absolutely,
you give me these words. And I mean, I have to say some awful sort of ill thought out things in the script, but it's my job to make this person human and accessible.
Yeah, because if it's awful from beginning to end, then it just ends up being...
That's right. It's a caricature and no one really cares. Yeah. But I mean, it is written beautifully. And I think Katie, without realising, has tried to make this person a human.
It would have been interesting to have the lovely lady in. I know she's just out there, because I would like to have asked her what you're like to work with.
But and she would have said an absolute dream.
I never get the answer.
She's not she's making signs at all out in the waiting room.
She's through the glass.
She's crying. I don't know why she's crying.
That looked like a gun to the head. Yeah, what you're saying was his brain is just full of amazing ideas.
Yeah, that's
what
that symbol is.
I've seen that myself in the mirror.
Yeah, you can very well ask someone who's worked
with
you. But
you two would have worked together, haven't you?
Yes. It's not on his press release, I see. It wasn't mentioned, but that's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
Ask babes about that.
Yes.
Ask the producer.
Now, when is this all on, Lulu? Give us the dates and the times.
It's at the Fringe Hub Rehearsal Room Arts House, North Melbourne Town Hall. I won't give the full address. 16th of September to the 1st of October at 9 p.m. and 8 p.m. on a Sunday. And you can get your tickets at the melbournefringe.com.au.
Now, that all begins this week then.
It does. Opening weekend of the festival is Friday, Saturday nights. Yep. And we're on for the entire festival. So, 3 weeks. Weekends.
And obviously, this is about, you know, it could be about anything, so you don't have to be into politics.
No, you don't.
To love this, do
no,
you?
No, you can hate politics and you'll love the show. You can love politics.
Lucky.
Yeah.
You can not even know what Fringe is and you'll still love the show.
And, you know, I mean, you must, you know, as much as you are joking about being a little afraid of it, you must be ready by now and you must be excited
by
it.
I'm pumped.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
You look pumped. You look really excited about it.
The idea is that you get, you know, it'll be you at the end of that night that gets all that lovely applause. And I think you will.
And that's so going to happen, yes.
Yes. Well, it bloody well
ask,
will.
Ask, believe, receive. It's going to happen.
Bloody well will. All right. Well done. Our Lyle Brooks, prudent man, Melbourne Fringe. Lulu, do you remember Denny Michael from Black Lace?
Agadoo.
Yeah.
Agadoo.
Oh, here we go. Everybody.
Do. Push pineapple, shake the tree. Agadoo.
It's award-winning radio on Joy 94. Well, that man, Penny Michael, just got out of prison.
I heard about that.
Yeah. He was in jail. He did a crime and claimed some benefits when he shouldn't
have. Killed a few people.
No, didn't know that. No, okay. Well, yes, with the music.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was in prison and he led 60 of the inmates in a big conga line singing Agadoo.
Oh, my.
Which is not easy to imagine.
Good on him. That would have been a fun day.
Everyone yelling out, I'm getting behind that one.
It was just to get the gruel.
Exactly. He said it was very surreal singing about pushing pineapples and shaking the tree in prison. He said when terrifying criminals ask you to do something, you do it. And all the murderers and drug dealers in there wanted to be his mate.
They wanted to push a pineapple and shake his tree.
There you go. Did I let you know that I was in Sydney on the weekend?
I saw all the pics on Facebook, but I need to hear the stories.
Well, Can you remember it? I very rarely post on Facebook, but when I do, I I went up there with my mate Goot Gallagher, and why are you groaning?
Just because you do it in code, everyone knows who he is.
Shh. And we had a ball up there, but you know we didn't. We went out on Oxford Street once, and that was only to go for dinner.
Really?
We didn't go out.
You did go out. I saw all the pictures. We were out every night.
We were out to the theatre and comedy nights, but we didn't go out. No disco dancing.
Yeah, but you were out anyway.
And all the rugby boys were up there. They were having a big, you know, rugby time, the Purchase Cup.
The rugby time.
Yeah.
But where did you go?
Theatre? Basically we...
You know what I didn't ask you? What was Aladdin like?
Oh, I like to get Aladdin. We went up there because Julian Clary was on and we watched his second gig and that was brilliant and
of course, yes.
Really funny. And then the next time we went to Aladdin, it is great.
Yeah.
A visual feast. Great singing. Now you're winding me up. You told me to talk and now you're winding me up. Shove it up your ass. We've got a guest in. It is our last guest for the evening and it is all about Fringe. This man, I have no idea how he's even awake and alive in the studio because he's got three gigs for Fringe and he joins us now, Ryan Good.
Whoa, look at that. It's my first applause of Melbourne. I'm so glad to have it.
With a surname like that, how can you go wrong?
You'll get more. And what it is what on earth, mate, that you're doing three gigs. Do you just love the pressure or what is
it? Well, you know, it's been a productive year in terms of show making and I flew over here. I live in New Orleans. I flew over specifically for this Fringe. I've been wanting to do this Fringe for years.
Wow.
And so we thought, let's get as many of them in as we can.
Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That you do as many as you can when you're only here for that.
And they were very gracious and excited. Yeah. So we're awesome.
What about for you then? What made you want to do Fringe, knowing about that over where you live?
Oh, I mean, well, this
I mean,
one.
We love it. But,
yeah.
You know.
I've heard about this one for a long time and I've heard all the exciting things about it. So, huge fan of the Melbourne stuff. I did Melbourne comedy a couple years ago. So, just excited to come back. It's a wonderful city. So.
And obviously, you perform over there in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
The world.
Yeah, I do. I do the Fringe circuit around the world. So, I actually do more work in Australia than anywhere else.
Great.
I do the World Fringe in Perth and Adelaide and Melbourne comedy and now this one. So,
and
we keep adding.
Did you work out that they the audience is lovely, love you over here, and you think, well, why wouldn't I go there?
My hope is that, you know, they kind of gloss over because of the accent, they can't quite understand all the words, so they just assume they're missing something.
We love it.
Yeah, we get
love
every
an American
second
accent.
Word anyway.
And you love the great weather we have. Oh, no. Oh, okay, sorry.
No, well, you know,
happy
I
spring.
Yeah, yay. I usually do the Edinburgh Fringe, and I didn't do it this year, so we just brought Edinburgh to Melbourne.
Yeah,
so it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, we will mention what the others are, but let's focus on one, which I believe is Cosmonaut.
Yeah.
Now, what is that all about?
So, Cosmonaut is my top 10 countdown of the worst sex tips that were ever written by Cosmopolitan magazine.
Oh, that's fantastic. fantastic.
That is really, really good.
So I read all 50, now 52 years of the magazine to go through it. I had two very gracious interns who helped me with this.
Wow.
And we went through and we read all the articles on sex. And then I also looked at ones that kind of examined feminism, examined gender roles, things like that. And it was actually pretty fascinating. I call it kind of like a piecemeal women's studies class that I got
to take. All
right.
Now, you obviously, I would imagine, don't want to give us anything that's actually in it. Is there ones that you I'm not going to use that one, but you could give us one?
Yeah. I'll pop one on here. I thought maybe it might be a good thing. So this one is, it's gone away. Let me pull it here for you. So this one involves a little food. and a lot of them involve food, and so there is some food in the show overall. But I thought,
is there do they even have that around today? I mean, do they give you advice in there now? In that same way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Still going.
Yeah, I'm a subscriber now as well. Of course. Yeah, I get it every month. Mailed to my home.
Do they know that you're doing the gig?
They have no idea. They've never contacted me. So they're
it's Cosmonaut. It's not Cosmopolitan.
No, I mean, I would imagine they'd love it.
Slid right under the radar there. Yeah. I would hope so. I mean, I do poke a little fun at them a little bit here and there. They're not without their flaws. Yeah.
They have enough people reading their magazine. They don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Cosmo is that it's this, like, amazing collision of kind of interesting, like, useful facts and utter crap.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
So, like, even on my Facebook last week, there was this wonderful video that they'd put together about being pro body image, and it was, like, titled "Who Should Wear a Bikini?" And it was anyone who wants to wear a bikini.
Yeah, that's right.
Sizes.
Eyes. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was fabulous. And then, no joke, two posts down from there was a video on how to shade your abs with makeup so you could show more definition.
Right.
So
that's great.
What have you got?
You want a tip? All right. Yeah. So here we go. So this is from May 2008. And this one is, sprinkle a little pepper under his nose right before he climaxes. Sneezing can feel similar to an orgasm and amplify the feel-good effects.
Because you have time for that. Hang on, where's the pepper?
That is amazing. Obviously, you'd have to, if you want this to work, you've got to get that already, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've got to go to your cupboard.
Where's the grinder?
Pick out your condiments. It's a different grinder.
Because freshly ground is very important, right? It won't work if it's
What's that pepper mill? Just over.
You've been listening to a Lulu and Michael podcast. Listen live every Wednesday afternoon from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.